Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Their commitment at the position is to Jimmy Garoppolo. Whatever grooming gets done of Trey Lance is done with full knowledge of the possibility that he might never be their starter. If Jimmy Garoppolo finds the form that he had in 2019, Trey Lance may never see the light of day and might get moved on from, because that's the nature of football.
I love you, Ray.
But no, you don't.
No, but if you think that this team is ready to move on from Trey Lance, who they traded two picks in the future
for. No, I didn't say they're ready to do that now. I'm saying
they would be.
What I'm saying is, in 3 years, if Jimmy Garoppolo's been sensational, they might decide that Trey Lance is movable. Because there are other quarterbacks that come in every year. And it's not that you have to be so pot committed to him that you have to force feed his way into the lineup. I'm saying there's a possibility, if Garoppolo stays healthy and as good as he was in 2019, that Trey Lance may never not be the backup quarterback. That's a possibility, too.
Let's say the Lions bite off Jimmy's kneecap on the first play of the season. Who's running play number two?
Well, he would be, but that I said, barring injury. If there's an injury and he can't play, clearly it's Lance. But their preferred method of doing this is to have Garoppolo upright and healthy the whole time. And if they can do that for long enough, they might move on from Lance because they find somebody else in the draft they like better in 2 years.
Again, you don't have a first-round pick to take the guy 2 years from now that you fall in love with.
So, I mean, you know, you can get one. You could trade up and get one.
So we're just trading up for quarterbacks that are never going to be played.
I'm not saying that's the plan. I'm saying it's a possibility because circumstances might dictate it.
Right. And I'm saying it's a possibility that Trey Lance gets a package this year, Ray. If I'm going to agree with you a little bit, would it kill you to agree with me that there is a scenario offensive coach is going to say, hey, dude, we wanted you to run three plays this week. Why? Because they ain't expecting it.
And I just said that that's a possibility because he could be their Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill's not an insult.
It sounded like, well, everything sounds like an insult coming out of your mouth, but it sounded like it was a mistake to use him. Like Taysom Hill confused things more than they helped things.
No, Taysom Hill was a great weapon for the Saints.
I think they're going to have a great weapon in a guy that they might see in week 7 against the Colts after he really gets up to speed in the bye week. Anyway, if you've seen the schedule, if you got it in front of you, what stands out to you? 888-957-9570 is the number. What's the best road trip here? Let's say you're a group of Niner fans and you want to go and you want to see him on the road. I'm going to tell you right now.
There's only one.
Halloween in Chicago.
Yeah, that's it. You already answered your own question.
Yeah.
Because there isn't another road trip that, frankly, is terribly appealing.
Jacksonville,
you need to see the Liberty Bell?
Yeah,
at Jacksonville? Oh,
at Jacksonville at least gets you a Florida vacation, because nobody wants to get on an airplane and land in Cincinnati.
You've been to Jacksonville?
I've driven past Jacksonville. It's not.
You saw it at its best.
Yeah, no, I know. It's not a great town. It's not a great town, but it does come with Florida. And maybe you're a big Tebow fan.
He won't be on the team by then.
He might be.
He won't be. This is Urban Meyer doing a favor for a pal who won him a national championship a million years ago. It's not going to, you know, you don't sign 35-year-olds and say, hi, you could play some tight end for us.
Do you know, and this is probably going to sound to Tim Tebow, blasphemous. Do you know how much of a god he is in Jacksonville?
I would say he's three gods in Jacksonville.
You're correct. That's who he is.
That said, do you want to have him past whatever prime he might have had playing a new position and embarrassing himself?
I don't think he's there to do any of that. Why is Tim Tebow in the room? The question is the answer. Have you ever seen a quarterback take a number one in an NFL draft who's had less media done about them in your entire life? The answer is no. I'll just go ahead and answer that for you. Has a rookie NFL head coach ever had less said about them ever in their entire lives? I think the answer is pretty much no right now. I mean, I think that Nick Sirianni has been made more fun of in Philadelphia than Urban Meyer, who is supposed to be the godsend and savior of the Jaguars, has really gotten any coverage at all. And if you turn on NFL Network this morning, there were three stories, just three. Schedule's coming out today. Aaron Rodgers is not happy. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow isn't there because he's a good backup tight end. Tim Tebow isn't there because he's rah, 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 sis, boom, bah. Tim Tebow's not there because he can lead chapel better than anyone else in your room. Tim Tebow is there because he sucks more oxygen out of the room than a ventilator. That's why he's in the room. There's going to be 35 media members clamoring for Tim Tebow. Trevor Lawrence is at his locker room with two guys, you know, not even paying attention to him as he changes. That's why Tim Tebow's there. He's going to suck the oxygen out of the room for Trevor Lawrence. That's why he's there, I think, more than anything else. Nobody is talking about the pressures on Trevor Lawrence being the savior. Two Clemson guys, Lawrence, ATN. It's all that you would ever hear about. A backup tight end who hasn't played in the league in 9 years is the third leading story on NFL Network. It will be the number one story all year in Jacksonville if he's on the roster, even on the playoff roster. That's why he's there.
I admire your cynicism, but Urban Meyer is not going to waste a roster spot on a guy who can't play. And I don't believe Tim Tebow can play. I think, you know, people will see that for what it is, a publicity stunt. And that's a great way to lose the room in your first year. I think he's got to build a franchise. And you don't do that with a gimmick. Even if with the 53rd spot, I think he's there for training camp. He'll be quietly cut after week two, and he'll go back to whatever his next dream is, being a curling champion, you know, winning on the LPGA. I don't know.
So, but being the 53rd guy on the roster, if that's all he's capable of being, in the history of football, there's never been a more sought after interview at roster number 53 than Tim Tebow in Jacksonville. He is what everyone will want to talk about. I mean, that's why he's on the team right now. And I'm not betting against his hard work to be a 53rd man on an NFL roster. What if he's fast enough to play a little special teams and that's where he goes? I'm going to also guarantee you this, that there has never been a single team's fortune that has risen or fallen with the 53rd man on the roster. So it doesn't matter who he is. So his name might as well be Tim Tebow for a team like Jacksonville that is dying to keep itself in the conversation, especially when they're 2-11 after 13 weeks with their brand new rookie, everybody.
Tim Tebow is today's story. It will not be September's story. It won't even be August's story until the day's quit. He's cut.
Right. Tim Tebow was 2008's story. And he's still here.
Right. And that's because Urban Meyer is willing to play that game for now. He's trying to gin up ticket sales. Once the season starts, all the tickets they're going to sell are going to be sold. And it isn't going to be because of Tim Tebow.
Back to the 49ers schedule. That game in Chicago is without a doubt the sexiest away game there is.
It's the only sexy game.
It really is. Here's the thing. The Niners' schedule kind of sucks. Can we be totally honest? It could be really interesting and competitive, but it's not that great. How many primetime games are we talking about here? The Niners have three Sunday night football games, three against the Packers, week seven against the Colts. Oh, that doubles down on you. Might see Lance in week seven then in a primetime game because you get a lot of media bounce off that too. You're going to sell some jerseys. Week 13 at Seattle. There's one Monday night football game, week 10 against the Rams, one Thursday night game, week 16 in Tennessee. But don't get that if it's a nice, if you get an Indian summer in Nashville. That's a good road trip, Ray. You ever been to Nashville? It's a fun town.
I've been
town.
To Nashville.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's a good town.
But, you know, at that time of year, the weather could really blow.
Right. Like I said, you need Native American summer there.
Yeah. In December, I don't think that's likely.
Well, you're right. That is weeks. Yeah, that we are going in December on that one.
Yeah, you're probably staying home to do lunatic Christmas shopping online at that point.
Wait a minute. Am I looking at this wrong? Do we get two different schedules? Got the ats and the this? Yeah, this is this printed schedule. Destroy it. Never handed it to anyone again because the verses and the ats are all wrong.
No, they're not.
The one that was in my hand that I just crumpled up. Yeah, they are at Tennessee on week 16. There you go. Will Deshaun Watson be the quarterback for the Houston Texans in week 17, Ray?
Probably. I mean, I at this point, his situation is such that I think he's going to play and nobody's going to want to trade for him unless his legal stuff has been disposed of. And I don't think it's going to get disposed of that quickly.
Thinking of who's popping up on this schedule here. You know, Russell Wilson week 4, and then when you're at Seattle week 13. That's right. That was the that Sunday nighter. Those are always big games, man, against the Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks are hard for these guys to play.
Here's the thing. You want to know what the real X factor is in the schedule and in the division on the schedule? It's the Rams. The Los Angeles Rams won't be seen by the Niners until week 10. By week 10, whatever slow start Matthew Stafford might have been in jeopardy of having in a new system with a new head coach is going to be so far behind him that come week 10 against the Rams, that could be the toughest game on the schedule, depending on what they actually look like with Stafford.
Certainly could be. I mean, you know, the Rams are not, the Rams still have Aaron Donald, so their defense should be fine. And Matthew Stafford presumably is an upgrade from Jared Goff, although who the hell knows. And, that could be, I mean, especially after, unless you really believe in Arizona, and I'm not sure I do, that might be the make or break game if there is one.
You want to get really nuts. What if we got Justin Fields starting for the Bears and we get an injury to Garoppolo in week 7 against the Colts and we got Trey Lance versus Justin Fields in Chicago on Halloween?
You're incredibly pot committed to this.
Hey,
I like that.
I'm hyping it up, baby. What do you think we do around here?
Well, that's not what I do, but that's okay. I mean, I'm just simply allowing for the possibility that the 49ers have a different plan than the one that's running around in your head.
My plans are the best. The
Ask Joey Bart.
You want to know what the best part of the schedule is, Ray? Honestly? I mean, if we really, really, really wanted to be honest, the best part of this schedule is only three preseason games. That's the best part of this schedule so far. You are and two really good preseason games, even though that basically on its surface does not exist. And unfortunately, I guess I'm going to eliminate this Kansas City game from being a good early preseason game.
You're not seeing
because
any
you're not seeing Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid might not even make the trip.
I might as well tell you, too, you won't see any starters in the Raider game either. Your only hope is that you get to see Josh Herbert for a little bit of game, too.
At two, which is going to be at SoFi Stadium, by the way. So it's not like you're going to see it.
So another, well, it'll be on television.
Right.
But no, I think we have seen, and you could thank Sean McVay for this, that players you want to see will never see one of those games again. Because he's now spent like the last 3 years not playing starters. And I think everybody else is doing that now. I think we're verging on the moment at which the NFL would be willing to get rid of all the exhibition games in, for a 19th week and an 18th game.
I'll do it right now. I'll take that deal. It's not my health, not my body.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll take that deal.
Yeah, I mean, the players association would be upset, but they haven't been able to win a fight from the owners in forever. So
there is,
I think, there's an excellent chance that before you leave this mortal coil, your kids will not know what an exhibition game was.
Wouldn't that be great for young Jack and his future? I think it would be. How about this for a very good point about that Rams game coming up, you know, number one with a bullet in week 10. It is the NFL, and Stafford might be on IR by week 10. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Jared Goff might be on IR in week one. You know, that's the one thing about this schedule that is so maddening. You could think about all the possibilities you want. But the possibility that nobody ever wants to think about is, God, by the time we see them, they might not have anything. Like the Packers game jumps out at you as, boy, that could be really good. And then you think about Aaron Rodgers, and you're completely let down. If Jordan Love is the starting quarterback in that game, you might not even watch it.
That's a 3-0 start, baby.
Well, yeah, but you're going to go, well, that wasn't worth the 3.5 hours I expended on it. You'll be down to basically the one Ram game and both Seahawks games.
Unless you're comfortable laying the points. And then in which case, hey, do you realize that right now somewhere on the radio there's someone trying to give you NFL gambling predictions across the entire week one spectrum right now?
In Vegas, somebody has already done lines for the entire year.
The entire year.
No, I take it back. They never do the entire year. They save the last week. They'll give you lines for weeks 1 through 17, but not 18.
Ray, I will give you the first 17 weeks right now if you subscribe. And if you do, for $199, that gets you through the entire season. I'll give you week 18 free. Nothing but stone cold lead pipe, 5-star prison bet, take it to the bank, liquidate all asset locks. That's all I got for you, baby.
You must think my teeth are strong enough to bite down on a coffee table and stay there.
Where's the Raiders schedule? Can you print out the Raiders schedule for me? I'll take a peek because somebody's here saying the Raiders schedule is absolutely brutal. Here's what I know about the Raiders schedule.
They always say that.
Yeah, they're starting 0-1. I do know that because they got the Ravens, that first Monday Night Football game of the season. What I also know about the Las Vegas Raiders is that they're going to be debuting a DJ booth and bottle service nightclub in one of their end zones, an 11,000 seat square foot Wynn Field Club goes the length of the entire end zone. You're going to have two DJs, a 45,000 watt sound system, 42 TVs, a 9x35 foot LED screen, premium bottle service, Ray. Premium bottle service.
They stole that idea from the Earthquakes, and good on them for doing it.
Well,
because that's the thing about that stadium down in San Jose that works. It's that they have the whole end zone taken up by what is now considered the longest bar in North America.
That's very cool.
It also means that people will head for that bar and stop watching the game, which means the atmosphere is going to be much less enjoyable.
Well, the only thing I can tell you is this. Is that bottle service and obnoxious look-at-me clubbing is as Vegas as it gets, baby. So there will, of course, be first of all, there's an awful lot of fun to be had there, whether you're paying much attention to the football game or not. They don't care once you bought the ticket. But
they do want you doing the bottle service because that's
where the real market
right off.
Absolutely.
The top.
I mean, if you want
to, that's money you don't have to share with the players or your fellow owners.
When Voss Waters, a 16-ounce Voss Water, is going for $22.50, you're in the black on that. You're doing really, really well. Anyway,
the Raiders schedule. Do you want?
I do want it. But here's the thing: if this is one end zone, That's fine. Very Vegas. As long as the other end zone is the black hole. If this end zone in any way, shape, or form is the new black hole, everything that the Raiders hoped to bring with them culturally from Oakland dies at the bottle service DJ booth.
Well, I think the problem with, you know, the black hole is that you're going to have to get people flying in to town at a time when I'm not sure how many people are going to be comfortable flying yet. Because it's May. We all think we're in the clear. The Yankees have 7 positive COVID tests. So their master plan of having 3 different fan bases, which is L.A. fans, Oakland fans, and visiting team fans, is probably going to be a wobbly for a while.
Give me the Raiders schedule.
All right. Drum roll, please.
We don't need that. Just give me the Raiders
schedule. Okay.
No.
No, we didn't want that from you. Alert,
major bag, alert. Wait. We got breaking news? Oh, that was Ray's drum roll. That was
his favorite.
He loves it.
I literally would pay money for this place to burn down overnight.
They sucked at defense.
Go ahead.
Okay, they open up with the Ravens. That will not be fun. Then they go to Pittsburgh. They come back to play the Dolphins. Who knows what they're going to be. Then they're at San Diego. Then they're home against the Bears. At Denver. They play the Eagles at home. They're at the Giants. They play the Chiefs at home. They play the Bengals at home. They're on Thanksgiving Day at Dallas. Then they play at home against Washington. They're at Kansas City. They're at Cleveland. They're home against the Broncos. They're at Indianapolis. And they're home against the Chargers. And their bye week is, let me see if I can find it here.
Look, the AFC West.
Their bye week is after week 6.
The AFC West is a tough place to live. There's no doubt about it. They do get the NFC East, though, on their on their schedule.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the, boy, what a bear of a schedule they are.
Somebody says here the Raiders have the 8th toughest schedule based on NFL.com right now. The Steelers have the toughest schedule, followed by the Ravens, the Bears. Okay. I'll have to read all that tomorrow.
Yeah, but we knew all that at the end of the last game last year because everybody knew who their opponents were. It was just assembling it.
Right. But there is something to it. How the schedule rolls at you makes it a little bit easier to digest or harder to digest. Like
they have one game, they have one situation all year where they have back-to-back road games. Most teams would take that.
Yeah, and you know, I
they don't have any 3-game road trips, which occasionally pop up too.
How many East do we have any times on those? How many 10 a.m.ers they got on the East Coast? Because that's a kiss of death.
The Steelers game and the Giants game. So one game they'll have trouble with, one game they'll probably win anyway. And their game against the Chiefs is at 10 a.m. and they weren't winning that anyway.
The amount of primetime games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams have 5 primetime games. The Packers, the Saints, the Cowboys, Seahawks, Steelers, Ravens, Rams, Niners, Chiefs, and Bucks have 5 primetime games each this year. Bears, Vikings, Raiders, Colts, and Bills have 4. The Bills with 4 primetime games. My, has the world changed.
Josh Allen is one sexy man.
He is. 3 for the New York Giants, 3 for the Patriots, 3 for the Chargers, 3 for the Titans, 3 for the Browns, Arizona, and the Washington football team, 2 for Philadelphia and Miami, only 1 for poor Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh, Jets got a primetime game. The Lions got 1 primetime game. So did the Jaguars, Bengals, Texans, Panthers, Broncos, and the Atlanta Falcons. So lots of day games. games for them.
Robert Saleh probably doesn't want a lot of primetime games this year because it's going to take a while to make those guys watchable.
Not the year. By the way, just looking at week one, a couple of standout week one matchups, game situations. Anyone notice who Sam Darnold makes his Carolina debut against? It's the New York Jets. Darnold versus the Jets, week one, baby. Give it to me.
How clever that was. Who would have guessed?
What a stunner, right? I'm surprised it's not a primetime game for the Jets. They didn't wait.
Well, let's be honest. Darnold Panthers really only matters in two towns. And even then, Carolina might not be crazy about it.
That's the beauty of the NFL. It's easy to say it only matters in those two towns. But with the fantasy and with the gambling, can't get enough. Can't get enough.
But in terms of fantasy and gambling, you can find out whether you want or not, whether you watch or not.
49ers got the Packers in their home opener. They got a week six bye, a Halloween game at Chicago. Those Rams games scare me the most. They really do.
Why do they scare you?
I mean,
that seems like that's too strong because we don't know what the Rams are going to be. The wild card of Matthew Stafford at his age makes them an excellent candidate to either go 11-5 or 6-10.
I think that there's reason to be a little bit worried because by week 10, the first time you see them, if Stafford is healthy, he's as up to speed. I mean, you are in mid-season form come mid-season, whether you're playing well or not. But if he's playing well, that's just it could be a tough game. I mean, I just don't know how to say it. It's Stafford with a real coach. It's a real coach with a real quarterback, weapons, and Aaron Donald. I mean, anytime Aaron Donald's on your schedule, you got to take notice of that.
See, I would think that, you know, Seattle would scare you more because you always know that they're going to be a problem.
They are. Well, that's the thing. I think I think I know what I know about the Seahawks. It's the unknown that I'm worried about in the Rams.
Well, then why? And I'm not trying to pick a fight here. I'm just curious. Why are you more afraid of the variables in the Rams than you are the Cardinals?
I think the Rams are a little just more of the now. Whatever the Cardinals have, or no, excuse me. Well, I thought you were asking me about the Seahawks there. I thought you were going to make a Seahawk question.
Oh, no, because I think we know the Seahawks are going to be a bear twice. I'm just asking what separates the Cardinals' variables and the Rams' variables to you?
The fact that that stadium in Arizona is now just home field for the 49ers as well. I'm kidding, of course. No, it's I don't know enough about – well, look, that's not true either because I think I know enough about Kyler Murray to be worried about that guy too. The 49ers are in the best division in football. That's what I know. I think, you got Arizona, who is already part of that equation. You got Seattle, which you got to continue to respect until further notice. And now the Rams just up the price of poker in this division when you get – a quarterback that is really, really good. I mean, Sean McVay did an awful lot with a painfully average Goff, I'm guessing. Is that how you want to bill him? Oh, you want the thank you very much. I like this. Holiday games. Who wants holiday games? We officially have holiday games. You ready? By the way, you got an entire December without me playing this, Ray. If we were in studio this past December, I'd have you singing this.
No. You'd have to explain to the coroner what happened when I put the gun in my mouth.
Bears at the Lions on Thanksgiving. Raiders at the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Bills at the Saints on Thanksgiving. On Christmas, Browns at the Packers, Colts at the Cardinals. There you go. Merry Christmas.
Of those five games, Bears-Lions intrigues me. Colts-Cardinals intrigues me. But the other three games have a chance to really stink if the wrong thing happens. Because if the Saints can't figure out how to recreate a form of Drew Brees, I don't know how good they're going to be. The Cowboys are terrible. The Raiders are the Raiders. And if the Packers don't have Aaron Rodgers, their game with Cleveland goes from being the best game on the card to maybe the worst.
How about this for your week one dance card best game, easy to circle right now? Browns at the Chiefs.
Oh, no question. We'll find out right away what the Browns are. because Kansas City's coming out for Bear. And Brown, I guess.
Right. Well, and you know that.
So if Cleveland can play them tough, then Cleveland might very well be for real. On the other hand, if the Chiefs come out and go, we're putting up a 50 spot because we can and we're pissed, then I think you start asking questions about the Browns right away.
You can't presume health even into week one, to be totally honest with you. To try to presume it beyond week one is ridiculous. So I just want to look once again. Niners at the Lions week one. Just thinking about it as my wheels turn in my head. You got Penei Sewell, rookie tackle, starting against Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, and Dee Ford. That feels like an advantage, Niners.
Are you sure about Dee Ford?
Until he's gone, yeah, you're right about that. Look, you're right, but let's assume he finally shows up ready to play a football season, and it's the next one. That feels like a problem for a rookie coach who comes across as a meathead, and Kyle Shanahan should skin Dan Campbell alive in that game. And I know that there's no tendencies on tape. You know, it's totally unknown what Dan Campbell is, but the known of what Kyle Shanahan is, knowing that Kyle Shanahan routinely undresses coaches that have been in the league longer than him. His first two games of the year will be a guy making his first ever head coaching debut, and then in week two, it'll be
a guy whose record is either 0-1 or 1-0.
Who's making his second professional coaching debut. Or I guess it's not a debut anymore at that point.
No, I'm just saying, yeah. We're arguing pedantry. It doesn't matter.
But I like it. I mean, if you told me, so you got to start the season, Niners, with two road games, how would you like those road games served? Against neophyte head coaches? You can't do much better than that for Kyle Shanahan and company.
Well, you could do better if the game against Philadelphia, or if either game was in the afternoon, so you don't have the 10 a.m.
That's why they're definitely going to be staying in Youngstown, isn't it?
Oh, no question.
I think so. Ooh, the latest. Look at that. Oh, that's just screw you, Lucas.
No, this needed to be done.
No, Lucas basically handed me the entirety of the NFL schedule on a sheet that is so small that I can hardly see it. He basically handed me the launch codes.
Yeah, it's the 272-square schedule that no one will refer to.
Let me tell you what's happening week 9, baby. Okay.
You can't even figure that out easy.
No, it's not an easy – it's hard to peruse. It's hard to peruse quickly, and
he didn't want to do the easy thing, which would have been to go through week by week on NFL.com and do it that way.
It's like reading a graph. Just you got your x-axis, you got your y-axis. What week? What team? You want to know who the Houston Texans are playing week 4? You guys want to know? They're playing in Buffalo.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very, very much. The Jacksonville Jaguars at Houston to begin the year. So Trevor Lawrence making a debut.
I'm just sitting here trying to resonate the idea of Lucas trying to explain the x-axis and y-axis to us, knowing where he went to school.
Knowing my ability to embrace math. What are you doing? You're supposed to help the show, Lucas.
You want to know who the Vikings play week 7?
Please.
Nobody. They're on a bye.
Wow, that was helpful. Thanks.
Good information. There's somebody. There was somebody who was wondering what that week 7 was going to look like for them. Now they know they got it off.
It's just, God. He's a lovable boy, but he's got brain bubbles. And I don't see a surgeon coming in to try to pop any of them.
Call your travel agent right now. The 49ers got one great road game for a fan to go to. Get your deep
dish.
I'm
going to say this on.
Get your Portillo's.
5:34. 34 minutes after the schedule has been released, you can't get a hotel room in Chicago that weekend. Those trips have already been booked.
It's a big town, Ray.
It may be a big town, but
you can get
10,000 lunatics from this area who will go there. And almost all of them will not be dressed for the weather.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's Halloween.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are going to be coming all from all over the state of Illinois. You're not going to spend your Halloween in Peoria. So people were coming to the town anyways. Then you give them a bear Sunday nighter and you bring the Niners to town.
Well, that just means that the bars will have to stay open till 4. But hotel rooms, dream on.
Yeah.
Because nobody's staying out at O'Hare for that.
No, that is not the ride to O'Hare you want. You don't want to be too further away from Midway. But there, yeah, that is the one great road game. The one really good road town to go to. All due respect to Philadelphia, by the way. Philadelphia is a great city.
It's a good town. It will have decent weather.
Yep.
But it's the Eagles.
Ever been to an Eagles game?
Oh, yeah.
They're fun. I mean, as long as things are going right for the Eagles, and then things get nasty.
Yeah. The only good thing about an Eagle game in Philadelphia is that you can leave in the third quarter and still have a fighting chance to get a cab. Because if you wait till the end of the game, ain't cabs coming out there for 3 hours.
No.
Because they're not going to have their roofs torn off by, you know, psychotic Eagle fans who didn't cover.
You want to know who they're playing week 9, Ray?
No.
They're playing the Chargers.
Ooh. In L.A. or not?
No, they're at home.
Thank you.
Lucas is very much planning on spending the rest of his life single.
I think he wants to be with you, Ray. Oh, man. I do love an NFL schedule, but let's be totally honest. It is an obnoxious undertaking.
Oh, it's just brutal.
The fact that they rolled out a couple this morning, right? And then they're like, you got to wait. You got to wait for the rest of the day to know this stuff.
Yeah, they're awful people.
They know how to slow play it. They really do. Good for them.
May they burn in the ninth circle of hell.
If you just joined us, starting almost 40 minutes ago, all we've been talking about is this schedule. Let me tell you a little something about the Golden State Warriors.
They're not on this schedule.
They're not on this schedule. They are not on the NBA's schedule tonight. But last night, they were absolutely on it. And that was the best game of the bunch. Man, the Warriors were good last night. Steph Curry gets picked up by a team that decides to be a supporting cast. What do you know? Here's Steve Kerr.
Jordan was fantastic that second half. We needed his scoring. You know, there were a lot of openings on the floor because of the way they were guarding Steph. So Jordan took advantage of it. Wiggs was amazing. You know, 17 for 23. He hit that huge three late. But that's what I liked, was that guys were just, you know, stepping up and taking the big shots that were there and knocking them down. And then, you know, to hold them to 18 points in the fourth quarter was really impressive, too. That's a great offensive team. They've got shooting everywhere, very difficult to guard. So just a hell of an effort all in all.
If Andrew Wiggins hadn't been paddling his way to 38 points last night, the Warriors would have drowned several times in the first, second, or third quarter. They stay afloat. They're into the fourth quarter. And then Wiggins, man. Wiggins hits a three to tie the game at 110. Chris Paul then comes down and hits a three. Then all of a sudden, Juan Toscano-Anderson, who hit a three last night that was waved off, and it was the right call. That ball was still in his hand. This isn't the one that we were talking about. This one counted.
113 to 110, Suns. 220 left. Draymond catches a soft pass, dribbles, throws outside. JTA for three, and he ties the game! Juan Toscano-Anderson, with his first three make of the night, makes it 113 all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Before all that, again, how about Draymond getting it done? Getting it done with Andrew Wiggins.
Draymond Green guarded by Crowder. Crowder didn't want that matchup. He was hoping to get someone else. Backdoor lob. Wiggins catches and slammed. All Bridges could do was watch.
And then Jordan Poole with the biggest splash of his career.
Poole the screen. Curry to Poole. He's open. It's a three ball, and it's nothing but the bottom of the net. And the Warriors take a three-point lead. 116-113 with a minute 42 left.
Now, as we talked about earlier, Ray, I know you're not Mr. Momentum. Did these two wins in the last two nights of basketball in any way change the arc of the year the Warriors are about to have in terms of where they go in this playoffs?
Yes, because they are matching wins that Memphis had, which means they're still very much in the argument for the eight. If they had split, they'd be a game back. And then all of a sudden, the game against New Orleans becomes vital.
Big win.
No, they were both big wins. The second one, it was a bigger win because Curry was taken out of the game even more completely than he was the night before. The night before, I thought, was just bad shooting. Last night, I think he had a hard time just getting loose. And the Warriors figured out a way, not just because of Wiggins 38, but they figured out a way to attack the basket, go within the paint fearlessly with a team that is still way too small by NBA standards, and more than hold their own. I mean, I referred to this before, 62 points in the paint is a ridiculous number for them, and out-rebounding a team with DeAndre Ayton when your biggest guy is Juan Toscano-Anderson, that's an achievement.
It is. Definitely.
They're figuring out non-conventional ways to hide their weaknesses.
When we come on back, we're going to have the always non-conventional, most amazing thing, because we actually have something amazing to tell you about. And while you were listening to Dave Cavill, who was a guest on our morning show, I heard a Simpsons episode, and we'll get into that one last time, and we come on back for our final segment today on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Network Capital Funding.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Now, I think I just saw Jason Dumas of Kron, who's now part of the station, like officially welcome. He is going to be doing some weekend shows and contributing, and I think we're going to even try to effort to get him on tomorrow because of the conversation that he just had with a big wig down at the Oakland Port who, you know, if you're dealing with building something at the Oakland Port, you're dealing directly with this guy, and this guy just told Jason that he hasn't spoken with Dave Cavill or John Fisher since 2019. That's why Dave Cavill, who joined our morning show today to just dodge questions, to me, sounded like a little bit of a monorail salesman. If you don't mind me saying, you heard Dave Cavill on the morning show. Here's what I heard.
President of the Oakland A's, a guy I've known for a long time since we were both working for the Quakes down in San Jose.
The name's Lanley, Lyle Lanley. And I come before you good people tonight with an idea. Probably the greatest... Oh, it's not for you. It's more of a Shelbyville idea.
Now, wait just a minute. We're twice as smart as the people of Shelbyville. Just tell us your idea and we'll vote for it.
It felt like things were full steam ahead here in Oakland with the Rooted in Oakland hashtag and with all your great social media posts about, look what's happening, full steam ahead. What's going on?
All right, I'll show you my idea. I give you the Springfield Monorail.
Dave, I have a lot of friends that live in Oakland, California, and it's not a secret that the city doesn't have a lot of money. Why not just use private funds here for a new stadium in Oakland?
Well, sir, there's nothing on earth like a genuine, bona fide, electrified six-car monorail.
Why should Oakland prioritize funding, you know, for a stadium when there's just so many other issues going on and we're in the middle of a pandemic?
What'd I say?
Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
That's right, monorail.
So Dave, John Fisher is the owner, and a lot of people don't get to see him. They don't see him. He doesn't make a lot of statements publicly. Why is he just staying in the background?
It glides as softly as a cloud.
So where is he right now, John Fisher? Why isn't he not coming out? You seem to be speaking for him a lot. People want to see John Fisher. They want to hear from the owner, Dave.
You'll be given cushy jobs.
Yeah, you didn't answer the John Fisher question, but that's okay. Why is the Coliseum site not a viable option?
Take my penknife, my good man. I swear it's Springfield's only choice. Throw up your hands and raise your voice.
Monterey.
What's it called?
Monterey.
Once again.
Monterey.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. I heard a monorail salesman talking about something that he doesn't know how to deliver, even if they really wanted to, which I no longer even believe they do. Turn your mic on, Ray. There it is.
It's always the last segment.
We finally got one.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
You give us a chance to party whenever you don't turn your mic on, Ray.
I'm going to give you a chance to enjoy your own funeral in a couple of minutes.
I thought
the monorail salesman was more coherent. Look, I feel for Dave Cavill in that he's basically trying to do a magic trick with no deck of cards. And he's the one who gets trotted out to do this stuff. But he accepted the job. So after a while, you're part of the problem. And the fact that he could not even identify the location of John Fisher, let alone make him available, indicates to me that he's part of the problem. It's, you know, we're not engaged in this. We just want to know when you're giving us the money.
Yeah, leaders don't lead from the concept of invisibility. John Fisher wants to be completely invisible to a process where he's asking a town with tight straps for like $800+ million. You want to just send that to me, COD? Like, you're not even going to meet me. I'm not going to sign for it. Trust me.
Leave it in a bag underneath the park bench over at Potrero. That's just essentially the message here.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of an owner in any of the other sports who is considered a guy with throw weight in the room who never talks. And the NBA doesn't have it. Mark Cuban will talk. I mean, he may not be the most powerful owner in the league, but he's got throw weight. It isn't hard to get Joe Lacob to blather. He's not the most powerful owner in the room either, but he'll talk. Jerry Jones, you can't get him to stop talking. And Major League Baseball, you know, it is not hard to get John Henry or the Steinbrenners to blow off their own bazoos. I mean, they'll just talk. A guy who's hiding is hiding something, and it's not just him. Fisher's playing this like it's a scam. And even if it isn't, in the 0.0001% chance that it's not a scam, he's making it smell like one.
Sure is.
Which means, for all intent and purpose, to the extent that you have to convince people to do something, you're playing it as though it's a scam.
We'll have much more tomorrow, including our most amazing thing, which will still be time-sensitive and usable tomorrow. So we'll just push that all back. Nash, don't have to worry about pushing that button right now. Hey, thanks to Brian Scalabrine and Anthony Slater for joining us today. For Ray, for Lucas, for Nash, I'm Damon. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that,